So we've been going through the book of Revelation for several months now, and all these future events that are going to be coming to pass. The greatest event of all is the rapture of the church, when we get to meet our Lord and Savior in the air and be with Him for eternity, and we get to go up, and I mean, it's just going to be great because we get to go up, we get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we get to go before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the things that we've done during our time of salvation on this earth, to receive crowns that we can cast back at His feet. So the rewards that we will receive or not receive, the things that we've done for the Lord, maybe our own ideas and our own strength is that wood, hay, and stubble that's going to burn up as we're tried by fire. But the things that we did do for the Lord with a right heart, and we followed Him, we were obedient in the things He asked us to do, those things will make it through that judgment fire. Obviously, it doesn't matter if someone has all their stuff burned up. What matters is that their foundation is Jesus Christ, because we read that in the book of Ephesians, that everything will be tried in our life. It will be tried by fire, and the Bible does say that whatever gets burned up, but yet so as by fire, that person is still saved. They're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation. But we still want to strive to do right for the Lord. We still want to strive to live a life that glorifies Christ, that testifies our relationship with the Lord, because we do not want to stand before Him empty-handed. We want to have something. I mean, I don't believe there'll be a single person that doesn't have something burned up, because we're human. We still try to do things in our own strength, and sometimes we don't rely upon the Lord. You know, we think, okay, well, I think I can do it. I know what to do, all right? But I'm glad that He's gracious. I'm glad that heaven is all that it's going to be. I mean, it's going to take us all of eternity to enjoy heaven. I mean, it's just, I mean, the Revelation, I mean, it tells us the new Jerusalem that we looked at in verses 21 through the beginning of 22, just the beautiful city that's been prepared for God's people. And we've come to the end. I mean, just all the wrath of God that's going to be poured out at the second part of the tribulation. Because remember, when the church is raptured out, the Antichrist comes onto the scene. He's able to sign a 7-year world peace treaty with Israel, that all the enemies of Israel are at peace with her. All right, they sign it. There's no... there will be a ceasefire, that nobody will break the ceasefire except the Antichrist at the 3.5-year mark in the middle of the tribulation, when he goes into the rebuilt third temple, sits down, and demands to be worshipped because he is God, and all the Jews flee. They realize, whoa, they made a mistake. They flee to the city of Petros. God protects them for the last 3.5 years. People that refuse to take the mark of the beast or beheaded because they are trusting what those evangelists are preaching, those 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching to fear God, not take the mark of the beast, and many will be saved during the tribulation. But again, it's during this time that God pours out His wrath. And we see that just the vial judgments, the trumpet judgments, all the wrath of God that's poured out that we have been spared from. Those that have been saved during the church age, those that have put their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, we do not go through the tribulation, not even one day of the tribulation. Now, how bad is this world going to get before the rapture takes place? We don't know, but we can see things unfolding. One thing we don't want to do as Christians is be like ostriches with their heads in the sand. Don't be ignorant to the things that are happening in the world, and things that, you know, even technology that is advancing, you probably don't keep up with. Does anyone keep up with the World Economic Forum? Anybody keep up? Okay. So, I mean, it's, you know what the United Nations is, you know what NATO is and all that, you know, the World Health Organization, right? Well, the World Economic Forum is world leaders getting together because they have an agenda that the Bible talks about, and that is bringing the world under a one-world government, all right? It's not anything that's really talked about in the mainstream news media, all right? So you got to have some reliable sources to really find out what's going on and how, I'll call it this organization of world leaders, they have every year, and they're having, I think they just wrapped it up, or maybe it's, yeah, I think it just wrapped up this past week in Switzerland. I think it's called forget how you pronounce it, D-A-V-O-S, Davos, Switzerland, or something. Is that Davos? Anyway, huh? Davos. But anyway, that's every year they have this meeting of world leaders because they want to talk about, you know, your impact on the environment, how you exhaling carbon dioxide is ruining the environment, how we need to start taxing humans every time they exhale because your carbon dioxide is just, you know, it's wreaking havoc on this planet. And it's all about Mother Nature. It's all about protecting the Earth and depopulizing the world, getting rid of humans, right, that are that God created in his own image. And again, the devil wants to take over and destroy. All right. It's and again, the Bible talks about that. That's what Revelation is all about, because in the end, the whole world, those who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they will come in a line with the Antichrist and his agenda, which if you read into the World Economic Forum and you read their mission statement, it is about all nations coming together, where there's not separate countries, where countries don't have sovereignty, but where they divide them up into 10 regions. We talked about that as we've been going through the book of Revelation. Their agenda is to have 10 regions in the world, and over those 10 regions are 10 kings. All right? And all of this, and again, the Bible talks about it. It's nothing we need to fear. What we need to be aware of and just see, you know what, as we are advancing and getting closer to the rapture, because it's still an event on God's calendar that's going to take place. God's still going to rapture out his people, all right? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians have been lulled to sleep in a lot of Bible doctrine. They don't study the Bible. They don't believe in the doctrine. Some don't even believe that the rapture is going to happen, that Christ is going to come back, the tribulation, because they have been so numbed by the false doctrines of this world. All right? And like, before we get into the rest of these verses, like I like to do, bring you some articles. And again, these articles I'm showing, these are from the World Economic Forum meeting that they currently had. And it says the World Economic Forum panelist thinks it's good people can't afford electricity and basic living standards. And that may not be you. You probably can afford your electricity, though it's high, right? But again, around the world, some people are struggling, but they think it's a good idea. It's good that people are struggling to afford electricity, basic living standards, because it's helping with decarbonization. All right. So, I mean, it's all about, again, controlling the people, because John Scott, who's the head of sustainability for the Zurich Insurance Group, recently indicated that people's growing issues with paying for basic necessities is actually in some ways good, as it helps with achieving harmony in meeting global decarbonization goals. Again, they're making people believe that carbon dioxide is bad for the earth. What do trees and plants and vegetation need? Carbon dioxide, right? They take the carbon dioxide that we exhale, they turn it into energy, right? But again, the devil is all about destroying what God's created. He's all about robbing faith and joy from people and getting people to not trust God. Again, it's all about programming people to trust one man who's going to show up on the scene and say he's got the answers for the whole world, the Antichrist, all right? Like I've said before, how do you get an entire world to fall in line with one man? Well, you got to program them, deprogram them from truth and reprogram them with all the false ideas and all the things that really are for the destruction of mankind and the destruction of this world. All right. Also there, the World Economic Forum founder, president, Brenda says, we are on the way to a new order. You've heard the term New World Order. All right, it's, that term's been thrown out there for decades, New World Order. The Bible talks about the New World Order, and again, it's the Antichrist, one world religion, one world religion, one world government, one world economy, right? The dollar is falling. Everyone's going to have one digital currency that's going to end up being the mark of the beast, right? In the right hand or the forehead, all right? But again, what are we able to keep? What are we able to keep on the positive side from the old order to bring into a new world order, he asks. He goes on to talk about the new world order and the agenda. Again, this is not something that's talked about in mainstream media, all right? It's not talked about really among a lot of churches, Bible-believing churches, but they have an agenda that's called Agenda 2030. This is an agenda that they came up with and they introduced to the world leaders from the countries that are part of this back in January 2023. So they have a seven-year program and it's called Agenda 2030. And their goal is by 2030, you'll own nothing. You'll be happy because the government will be providing for you. The government will be taking care of you. You won't have any more freedom to own property and to own things. This is their agenda. There won't be any more farms, right? Have you noticed that a lot of food processing plants have blown up in recent years? Mysterious fires breaking out and destroying food processing plants. It's kind of strange that, this past Thanksgiving, there was a turkey farm that had to kill all their turkeys. I forget, I think it was a million turkeys or something. I mean, it was up there because of some disease. And you've heard about, the chicken disease, where you got to kill off all the chickens and stuff. And something that's starting to really come out again in the news is waste chronic disease among the deer population, okay? Because, again, how can a one-world government control the food supply chain? Well, they've got to take the sustainability out of your hands and put it in their hands so that you have to rely upon them. So you have to eat some of Bill Gates's, plant-based meat, Beyond Meat. You've seen that in the grocery store. Again, I still laugh every time I pass by the case at Myers, and I look at it because it's like, okay, you don't want us to eat meat, but you make it look like meat. You make it look like a sausage. You make it look like a hamburger patty, but there's no meat in it. To me, it's just hilarious, but again, it's programming people, all right? It's programming people, all right? So again, the New World Order, it's coming. You remember the Canadian fires last year? I mean, they were pretty bad, and you could just smell it. It had a toxic smell to it, all right? Well, supposedly they found the culprit, and a Canadian man pleads guilty to 14 counts of arson for deliberately starting wildfires last year, all right? But you read on in the article, and Canadians are not buying it. They believe that they don't even know who the man is. They're just saying, we have someone that we are prosecuting, all right? The Canadians believe the government is behind the wildfires last year because how are you going to convince people about global warming? How are you going to convince people that you're the problem, you are destroying this earth, right? Wildfires and all kind of catastrophic things going on in nature to convince people, all right? But one thing you've got to realize is when people start recognizing the truth and they're getting close to the truth, governments always throw somebody out there and say, oh, this person's, they're guilty for it. We've been investigating him. So everyone's like, oh, okay. It's just somebody who has randomly done some evilness, all right? Anyway, again, if you want to read more on these articles, go to thewinepressnews.com. Thewinepressnews.com. It is a Christian news outcast that you can read. Again, they put up all these articles, a lot of past articles that we've talked about as well. But the World Economic Forum panelist says, farming and fishing is ecocide, demands they be penalized. You read through here, and this lady, she compares genocide, the killing of population, the killing of people. Basically, you know, they're saying Israel's committing genocide against the Gazan people, right, against Hamas. Well, she compares human genocide with nature genocide, okay, ecocide. She goes on to say, you know what? We need to start criminalizing people for farming, having animals, and even fishing, because, you know, when you go fishing or hunting, you're committing ecocide. I mean, you are destroying, you're killing off the species and stuff. Again, when I read my Bible, God gave man the ability to do that, to hunt, to fish, to take care of himself, right? Again, it's all part of the one world government. Again, trying to get people to believe that people are the problem, right? And it goes on, the article goes on, and it just, you know, it really pulls on people's heartstrings, all right? Oh, you know, the poor animals. We need to have a law that, you know what, if you even kill a bald eagle still in an egg, you've committed murder and you're going to federal prison. You realize there's a law that if you kill a bald eagle baby still in an egg, you go to federal prison for a long time. But it's okay if you kill a human baby. Go ahead and have an abortion. It's okay. It's not murder. In fact, if you want to wait several days after the baby is born and decide that you don't want the baby, after the baby's been born, I forget if it's 14 days, it's a few days that in some states, well, you can still kill that baby because it's your right. All right. Again, calling evil good and good evil. All right. But people, their minds have been twisted. They've been lied to. They're believing something that's not true. All right. But again, it's all about taking away your ability to provide for yourself, all right? Because what are we told in Revelation? That you cannot, in the one world government system, you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And you know, right now people have gardens and farms. People are raising chickens. I've got chickens. You know, people have, you know, all kinds of livestock. They're trying to provide for themselves, get out of the grocery store because the grocery store processed food, it kills you, keeps you sick, so you have to rely on pharmaceutical pills to, you know, to cure whatever disease or whatever is going on in your body and stuff. But they have to take away your ability to take care of yourself, so you have to rely upon them, all right? And if they don't think you're fit for society, you're too old, you're too young, you got Down syndrome, whatever, well, then they'll just get rid of you, all right? We've talked about that. The Bible talks about that. Euthanasia is legal in Canada, all right? And again, I understand. And what do they always do? It doesn't matter if it's abortion. It doesn't matter if it's euthanasia. They always tell you, well, as far as with abortion, I mean, you know, the baby, it's got a heart defect, Down syndrome. You don't want to bring that baby into the world, right? But usually they tell you the only thing they scream about are the women who get raped. Do you realize the women who get raped that have an abortion is a very small percentage? they always want to bring up those that, and again, rape is a horrible crime. I believe the man who does it should be beaten to a pulp and castrated and all that good stuff. I'm just saying, all right? But in order to promote evil, they got to make people focus on, you know, I'll say the 1%, I forget what the percentage is, but it's real low of a woman, you know, that has been done wrong. Euthanasia. Nobody wants to suffer with cancer. Nobody wants to have to go through the chemotherapy. Again, I had a son who had cancer, went through the chemotherapy, and what the toll it takes on the body, all right? Some people, again, I don't want to have to go through that, but if God ordains it, okay. But who's the giver of life? God is, all right? So, again, the devil wants people to end their lives, whether it's, you know, someone is so distraught they commit suicide, or someone who, you know, logically comes to a conclusion, you know what, I'm just going to get a doctor suicide, assisted suicide, because I don't want to go through this. I don't want to, you know, cause my family to have to go through this and see me deteriorate and all of that, all right? What is the devil's agenda? To keep people from trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's his number one goal, is to keep people spiritually blinded so they don't come to the light of Christ, so their life isn't changed by the power of Christ, so they don't receive the gift of salvation. So, I mean, just remember, even though they legalize it, doesn't mean it's right, okay? Doesn't mean it's right, but again, this World Economic Forum is all about, and these leaders that come to this meeting every year, they go back to their country and they start implementing the things that they've talked about because they're part of an agenda, all right? How many of you remember, you still remember the pandemic? We like to call it the plandemic. You realize it wasn't something that just naturally happened. Oops, you know. It was purposely done. And I think it was, I'd have to go back and look. And forgive me, because all of this is relevant to the book of Revelation and where we're at. Okay? It's all relevant. I believe it was 2015 at the World Economic Forum. I could have my year off. Maybe it was 2018. But they talked about a possible pandemic. They even, you know how sometimes our country gets with another country and we'll do war games to see how it turns out? All right, how the possibilities of winning some type of war, and they'll get with a different country and they'll play war games. Well, they did a pandemic, I'll call it a game, to see how it would unfold and how people would react to it. And then, what, in 2020, well, the end of 2019, you started hearing about this pandemic coming out of China, and then it just rapidly goes around the world, all right? All of this, they talk about, and it's part of the World Economic Forum agenda, all right? Again, how do you get a whole world to come together under one leadership? Well, you've got to have the leaders of that country infiltrate the country, take away the freedoms, the rights. I mean, in Australia, if you didn't get the vaccine in Australia, they put you in a camp, a non-vaccinated camp, all right? None of this is to cause fear or anything like that, but, you know, my people, what does the Bible say? My people suffer for lack of wisdom or lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, all right? And what's another thing that's happening in the tribulation? Satanic worship. Because you have to worship the beast or worship the image, right? Or you're executed, okay? Well, it's becoming more and more open in our country where governments, municipalities are allowing it. And I forgot to read further down, but a Nevada county, I forget which county this was, I don't think it says at the beginning, but Nevada county is under scrutiny after the founder, a licensed Satanist group, led the opening prayer with an invocation that ended with him saying, "Hail Satan." Actually, on this news website, they have the video of the guy doing it. I didn't play it. I really didn't want to listen to the guy praying to Satan. But the fact is, it's in America. It's in a government institution among a government body. But again, the Bible talks about that, all right? It just talks about that that is what's going to happen, all right? And what's going to happen in the tribulation? One world government and what? One world religion? And what's going to be the one world religion? Who's going to be the head of it? Who's going to be the false prophet? Huh? No. The Catholic Church. The Pope. Okay? The Pope, Roman Catholic Church is the one world religion. Pope Francis praises Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab is the head of the World Economic Forum. All right, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum for working to build a better world. You kind of read through this article and he just praises them for the new world order. All right, what was it that he recently said was okay? Homosexuality. He recently said the church, the Roman Catholic Church, recognizes homosexuals as equals, whereas God condemns it. God loves the sinner, hates the sin. He condemns homosexuality, all right? But the Pope, being the false church, the false prophet, he praises it, and he's all for it, all right? The World Health Organization head, Tedros, says new global pandemic is matter of when, not if. Now, they're talking about another world pandemic. And he's saying it's not a matter if it happens, but when it happens, all right? Again, all this lines up with Revelation and what's coming, all right? He says, Tedros added that national interest should not deter countries from not signing the new pandemic treaty. The pandemic treaty is you give the World Health Organization all power and sovereignty over your country. So he and his people run the countries and they can call an emergency, what is it? I forget the name of it, but Joe Biden tried to do that, emergency order where, you've got to do what they say and they take away all your rights and stuff, all right? And they want the world to, and we talked about that this man. All right, we talked when we were looking at the Antichrist early on in Revelation. We looked at maybe the possibility. We don't know who he is, who the Antichrist is, but you can see some possibilities. All right, it's never been Obama. It's not Joe Biden. It's not people that Americans have thought at different times. All right, but you think about a man who is in charge of an organization, the World Health Organization. And he wants power, and we kind of looked at the possibility he could be the Antichrist. He could be the one that goes into that role. Klaus Schwab could as well, all right? Just these different, these different men, these different people in these different organizations. But if a pandemic is going to happen this year, and they say it's going to happen, we have someone who is already going to rescue the world. And he is the founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates. Bill Gates says future of vaccines will have implantable quantum dot micro needle patch. All right, you're just going to get a patch. All right. So he says that at the World Economic Forum. So it's amazing that a computer guy is such a scientist. I mean, he's just able, but he's the one giving all the money, okay? He's the one giving all the money, all right? Now, with all of that that's going on, you got Israel doing what they should do, and that is protecting their nation, protecting their people. They're going after the terrorists. All right, they're going after Hamas, but the world is saying they're wrong. In Africa, I forget what place it was, but there's a country in Africa that they were having, and I don't know if they even came to a conclusion, but they were passing judgment. They were having court hearings against Israel because they wanted to charge Israel with war crimes because they're killing people, because they're killing terrorists. But they never tell you terrorists are. They're killing innocent Gazan people, is what they tell you, all right? But it's all Hamas. They're all associated with Hamas, okay? So the world tells Israel, you're wrong for protecting yourself. You're wrong for retaliating against terrorists. But I always think about, what did America do when we were attacked on September the 11th, 2000? What did we do? We went after the terrorists, right? Did anybody stop us? No. And we kept going and kept going until Osama bin Laden was captured. You remember when the years that we were going up against, what was that guy, Hussein, in Kuwait, you know, fighting against him, right, and all of that. It's amazing, though, nobody wants Israel to take care of themselves, all right? But with all of what's going on, there are other countries now attacking each other. Pakistan is launched strikes on Iran, killing civilians. You have in the Red Sea, who is that? Up in, I forget the name of the group now, but they're kind of associated with Hezbollah, the other terrorist group. There's another group that has been attacking our Navy ships in the Red Sea. Houthis are, it's like H-O-U. But, you know, we've been attacked, so we've been kind of having a squabble against terrorists. Now you got Pakistan attacking Iran. The civilians of Iran, they're protesting against their own government as well. So you're starting to have all these uprisings around Israel. Okay, having all these uprisings around Israel, everybody's condemning Israel for what they're doing, but it's okay for what everybody else does, all right? So with all these escalations coming up, the NATO generals warn that they are preparing for a conflict with Russia. Well, Russia and Ukraine are in a war, right, and have been for a couple of years now, right? But they're saying, you know, World War III is on the brink. Well, it has to be. It has to be. All right. And there's more that goes into that because, I mean, I can't really get into all of it right now, but you realize World War II was planned. All the world wars were planned to try to destructure the countries and take over. Again, it's all this one world government. The devil has been throughout mankind history, the devil has been trying to take over the world through different men at different times, right? The Pharaoh in the Old Testament, all right? You have all these in the Old Testament, you read about all these one world leaders. Well, first it started with Nimrod as they built the Tower of Babel, right? Everybody was together, but God scattered them, right? Confounded them with their different languages. But as you read through the Bible, you just see even through history where, again, the devil's always trying to take over. God's going to give him his 7 years. His 7 years is coming where he can wreak havoc for 7 years, but God's grace and God's mercy is still going to be active. He's still going to be drawing people to him. He's still going to, because the seven-year tribulation is all about Israel. It's all about him dealing with Israel, but Gentiles can be saved as well by not taking the mark of the beast, fearing God, following the Lord, all right? But how do you get Christians, how do you get Bible-believing Christians, how do you get born-again believers to stop preparing for the coming of Christ, to stop believing in the rapture? I know it's an event that's going to happen, but it'll never happen in my lifetime. How do you get Christians to become numb to the truth of God's word not live their life for their Savior, not even prepare to meet their Savior, and just kind of go with the flow as the world is going in the opposite direction of the Lord. Well, you have to get the truth out of their hands. You got to get them to believe a lie. You got to get Christians against Christians, right? Because in verse 17, it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So as we come to the end of the book of Revelation, we see that the Holy Spirit of God and the bride of Christ, which is the church, it is the born-again believers, the bride. We've already seen, he showed us the bride in Revelation chapter 21, the new Jerusalem coming down, the home of the saints, all right, the home of the believers. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, hearing the truth. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So our goal and our command from our Savior, you go back to the end of Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives the Great Commission. But even as a child of God, as someone who's on our way to heaven, we should have that desire to tell other people, hey, you know what? This world is not a world you want to live for. This world is going to end at some point. There is a Savior who has prepared a place for you, but you can only go there if you recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you put your faith and trust in His payment, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But at the end, again, John the Beloved, right? John, the one who leaned his head upon Jesus' breast and heard His heartbeat, the one who John would always say, you know, the one Jesus loved, right? Referring to Himself. He's the one that is now writing, and he says, "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come." The church of God says, come. "Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come." People are thirsty. Again, people are born with a void that only Jesus Christ can fill. People are thirsty. They're spiritually thirsty. And we're told, they're told, you can come and drink freely of the water of life. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, you can eat freely of all the trees, freely, except for one. He said, you cannot eat of this tree. And He pointed out the tree to Adam, told him, you can't eat that because once you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Now, God didn't go on to explain spiritual death and all that. He just gave a command. You can have all the trees, freely eat whatever you want, except for this one. Now we have water, the water of life, that we can freely, anyone can freely come and take of the water of life. Now verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, God, through the penmanship of John, gives a stern warning, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's word, this is God's word. The whole canon of Scripture is from God. All right. Again, people are, well, you know, man wrote it down. God used men as His pen to write down His words. But notice, these two verses, God gives a very strong warning that if anybody adds to God's prophecy, to His word, He'll add the plagues that are written in this book. If anybody deducts, subtracts, takes away from God's word, the prophecy of this book, God will take away His name out of the book of life. Doesn't say out of the Lamb's book of life. It almost is God's giving a death warning. You mess with my word and I will take your life. Your life will be shortened. Because remember, the Lamb's Book of Life, no one's name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's when someone gets saved and trusts Christ as their Savior, their name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? But there is a Book of Life. Everyone that's born, they're written down in the Book of Life. Okay? They're written down in that register because when a baby is born, right, you get a birth certificate to prove this child was born and you're the parents. All right? So there is the Book of Life that has all the names of everybody that has lived, that has been born. All right? And God promises that if anybody adds to his word or takes away from his word, all right, if they add, he's going to add the plagues to their life. If they take away, he's going to take away the name. He's going to shorten their life. All right? And it even says out of the holy city. So they won't even be able to enjoy. And I don't, you know, they won't be able to enjoy that New Jerusalem that we read about and it's the beauty of it. Now, where do they go? I don't know. Okay, the Bible doesn't say, but man, after reading just the beauty of the city that's been prepared that comes down from heaven and Jesus telling his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, right? All of that, I don't want to miss out on what God's prepared for me. I don't want to mess with his word. That's why I don't argue with people about, you know, what Bible is the right Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the right Bible. It is God's word, inerrant word, all right? Now, there are many arguments we can have, okay, on, you know, well, we don't have the originals. We don't have the autographs. We don't have this. We don't have that, all right? When you read your Bible, there are no originals. Remember, just a couple minutes, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. The finger of God writes on the tablet. Moses takes the tablets. He's going down to the bottom of the mountain, but he sees a party going on. He sees the people running around naked, worshiping a golden calf. The Bible records, he throws the tablets down and breaks them. Well, there goes those originals. Now what? Because when he goes back up to the mountain, you read in Scripture, God took the time and wrote the commandments in stone the first time. The second time, God says, okay, Moses, now you write them. You start chiseling. It didn't use the word chisel, but when you read Scripture, God says, okay, Moses, you broke the commandments. Now you get writing them out. All right, so there goes those originals, but he wrote them out. I mean, Jeremiah wrote out, God says, I want you to write some things down. He wrote them down, right? And he took it, he sent it to the king. The king was reading it, didn't like it, took a penknife, cut it up, threw it in the fire. Well, there went that original. You read Scripture, God tells Jeremiah, okay, rewrite everything I told you the first time. And God had some more stuff for him to write down. I'm saying this, if the enemy can get you and me convinced that there is no such thing as the absolute word of God, then what am I going to build my life upon? It's amazing, though, that there are people that they, you know, well, we don't have the originals, you know, this Bible's better than that Bible, and all of that. Then tell me how to get saved. If you don't believe we have the absolute word of God, how do I know that I can be saved? Right? You can't tell me, well, let's read here. No. Because you're saying that we don't have the absolute word of God. Now, again, I believe we do. All right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There was a man by the name of Dr. Frank Logsdon. He helped with the publication of the NASB. All right? New translation. I forget, what does that stand for? NASB, I probably didn't even write it down. Anyway, another version. He was a pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago for a long period of time, preaching with the King James Bible. But he wanted to, I believe at first he thought he was doing a good deed. He wanted to improve on the Bible. He wanted to improve on the Bible, and he enlisted a businessman who was a billionaire to help fund the project. I'm going to read you his testimony in a minute, his deathbed testimony. Because this man, again, he helped to publish a version of the Bible that was not, and probably next week we'll go over this more as far as what manuscripts are the King James Bible from? What is it they used to translate the King James Bible, and what manuscripts do they use to translate all the other versions that they call Bibles, okay? But Dr. Frank Logsdon, he died in 1987, but he is one that, again, wanted this work to be done. He wanted a new translation. The man that he employed to help, he just wanted the money because he knew he'd make a lot of money on a new version, people buying, okay? But in his testimony, all right, let me pull it up here real quick because I can't read that. The following are words of Dr. Logsdon, who was able to repent of the work which he led as co-founder and chief editor to produce the New American Standard Version Bible. Quote, he says, "I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord." And you can actually go on YouTube and find the recording of this, where he recorded himself giving this testimony and denouncing the work that he was a part of. He says, "I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord because I encouraged him to go ahead with it." And he's speaking of, I forget this other guy, I'll probably come across this other guy's name. "We laid the groundwork, I wrote the format, I helped to interview some of the translators. I sat with the translators, I wrote the preface. When you see the preface to the New American Standard, those are my words. Well, up to that time, I thought the Westcott and Hort was the text. You were intelligent if you believe the Westcott and Hort." These are the manuscripts, all right? "Some of the finest people in the world believe in that Greek text. The finest leaders that we have today. You'd be surprised." This is what he's saying in 1987 before he passed away. "If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. They haven't gone into it just as I hadn't gone into it. They're just taking it for granted. I'm in trouble. I can't refute these arguments. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It's frightfully wrong. And what I'm going to do, and what am I going to do about it? Well, I went through some real soul searching for about 4 months, and I sat and wrote one of the most difficult letters of my life. I can no longer ignore these criticisms that I am hearing, and I can't refute them. I must, under God, renounce every attachment to the New American Standard. If you must stand against everyone else, stand. How can we know that we have the whole truth? Well, simply by believing God. And what do I mean by that? John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into how much? Tell me now. All truth. And if we don't have all truth, the Holy Spirit isn't doing his work. We have to have all truth for him to lead us into all truth. And there are many, many other passages which teach this. If we could hear his voice, we would have no trouble learning his word from the authorized version. Because who did Jesus say would come and be the comforter and the guide and the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Now, I hear people say, well, I can't understand the King James, the these and the thous and all of that. That is an excuse people have heard other people say. Because as long as I've been in church, I've heard people use that excuse. Well, I can't understand that. I can understand this. But when you compare the different versions with the King James Bible, you see where they're lacking verses. You see where they change things. Last week, and it goes more into it, we'll have to stop for time, but he gives this whole testimony because if God cannot keep his word pure and for us to be guided by it, then how does anybody know they have the gift of salvation? Because if you don't have one single Bible that you can absolutely trust and absolutely build your life upon, the King James Bible, then how do I know I have the gift of salvation? Because I showed you last week, and some weren't here last week, but in verse 16, Jesus speaks and says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I mean, all throughout the Bible talks about Jesus being the root of Jesse, right? The kingdom of David sitting on his throne, all that. But he says, and the bright and morning star. He's the bright and morning star. And I took you last week to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, where it speaks about the falling of Lucifer, the rebellion of Lucifer. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, God says of Lucifer, he's the son of the morning. He's the son of the morning. Jesus is the bright morning star. Lucifer was that angelic being that was to lead all of the host of heaven into worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, the Son of God. But he fell because of pride. He fell because of rebellion. And God says he's the son of the morning. But in the NIV, when you look up Isaiah 14, 12, they say, because I read it to you, I looked up a copy and I read it to you last week, it doesn't say son of the morning for Lucifer, it says the morning star. So totally takes the one of Jesus' titles and accredits it to Lucifer, to Satan. So when someone's reading and they get to this, they get to this place where Jesus says, I'm the morning star, what do you think that's going to cause? Confusion. Wait, I thought Lucifer was a morning star. Right? It's all about getting people not to trust the Word of God, not to believe that God can keep a pure copy of His Word for us over time. Because again, when you study out the history even of the scribes and the different kings of Israel, God commanded the kings, even David and Solomon, all the kings of Israel, they had to write their own copy of the Word of God. So they would take it and they had to write their own copy. And when the scribes would help them, and if they even messed up one letter, they threw everything away and started over. Even if they were on the last word, oh, they messed up. They had to burn it, throw it all away, start over. Because that's how important God's word is. Now, I believe that God's given the gifts of salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe the Holy Spirit seals a believer the second they trust Christ as their Savior. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if I believe that, I have to believe I've got a pure copy of God's Word. Because how else am I going to defend myself against the spiritual attacks of the devil? How am I going to prepare myself for the end time? How am I going to prepare myself to meet my Savior in the air? How am I going to know what to do as a Christian? How am I going to know if there are any false religions and false prophets in the world? How am I going to know that there are devils possessing people that want to lead me down a different path that seems like the right path? Remember, the Bible says that Satan can appear as an angel of light, and so can his demons. Can appear as angel of light, right, to deceive people, to lead people astray, all right? So, I mean, as we've gone through the book of Revelation, it has shown us the churches that John was writing to. Jesus tells him the things to write down to send to those seven churches. We're also the seven church ages that the church has gone through, and we're in the last one, the Laodicean. And you look at the time, the times, I mean, we're at the end of the church age. What else? I mean, we're in the Laodicean church age. We've been in it for a while. Lukewarmness, right? Church is really not preaching the truth anymore, just, you know, wanting people to feel good. And keep the attendance, you know, keep the money and the offering plate and all of that, right? All kinds of different teachings going on and not helping people to realize you're going to stand before Christ one day. The world is not getting closer to God. It's gone way further than God. And God wants us to be prepared. Again, not scared. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? He's given us his word. Now, again, if I don't believe that I have the word of God to guide me and direct me, then, man, I'm left in the dark by myself. I don't have a spiritual light to guide me and to help me see things as they're unfolding in the world and to see, you know what? The Bible's right. God's right. I mean, you can just see things happening. Lord, help me to stand upon the truth of your word. Help me to stand true to my relationship with you, leaning upon you, following you, faithfully relying upon you, and letting you guide me according to your will. So to me, it's exciting to see all the things going on in the world. Exciting in the sense of, I know that the second return of Christ is imminent. I know that the trumpet sound is imminent to be caught up in the clouds, all right? In the twinkling of an eye, just that, can't even fathom that. And I would love to just be in church, having a church service, and the trumpet sounds, and all of God's people, we just go up, you know? Be exciting whenever that happens, right? But again, no matter what's happening in the world, stay focused on your relationship with Christ. Keep letting Christ work in you and through you. Keep submitting to his will. Keep living the life that he has given you abundantly through him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the truth of your word and the fact that you've given us the Holy Spirit to be the guide, to be the comforter, to bring to our minds scripture, to remind us of the truths and the promises, to encourage us a long life's journey. And thank you, Father, that we can look unto the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, thank you for all the things you do for us. Would you continue to bless our time together? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got about 5 minutes for the next service.